This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
Turn with me to Psalm 34. This is the third message that God has put on my heart to preach to you. And the first message was deliverance from the fear of man. And then on Friday, we preached a message, deliverance from the fear of failure. And today, I want to just culminate these three messages, and we're going to be dealing on the subject, deliverance from the fear of dying. And I tell you, it's such a big subject that when I got into it, you're probably sitting here thinking of a dozen scriptures that you probably would have used. I looked at them, and there's just so many on the particular subject of this that I've prayed and said, God, give me your thoughts and your direction on this very, very powerful subject. Now, Father, I thank you this afternoon that you're the one. We don't just come up with ideas, but I thank you that we can allow your Holy Spirit to speak into our hearts. Lord, you know what the future holds for every one of us. You know the beginning from the end. You know how the devil has used fear to distract and to paralyze so many lives. And Lord, you put in our hearts to speak your word against this power of the enemy. That, Lord, as we receive you, not only do you forgive us of our sins, but you break the bondages of hell. That we can be a people walking in an authority and walking in an anointing from on high and not bound by paralysis from the enemy through fear. Now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you give me an anointing. I don't want to stand here and speak out of my own strength. You've never asked us to do that, never one time. And so this afternoon, I ask, Holy Spirit, you speak. Lord Jesus, you speak to our hearts. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned to you, it's a very huge subject. We all discuss the subject of death. It's appointed unto man once to die. It's an appointment that everybody will keep. No one's ever been late. It's a subject that comes to us from different times, different seasons, and we think about it. We discuss it. In today's world, with all of the terror that's going on, with all of the facts on cancer that's going on, with there's so many things that the enemy can pick up and use and put into a heart of a believer of a fear of dying. And yet, the scriptures are so rich in that he's abolished this power of death. But it's going to take faith. It's going to take the Holy Ghost to bring that revelation. We hear messages. We hear message after message that God is going to keep us in the palm of His hand, that He's going to hold our lives together. But it takes the revelation of Jesus Christ to speak into our hearts to believe it. I don't think it's a subject that we just come to an end of. And if you ask me, do I fear dying? I can't say that I fear dying. I talk about death. Do I want to die tomorrow? No, I don't want to die tomorrow. I love my grandkids. I love my wife. I love my kids. I love Times Square Church. I love what God is doing in and through my life. No, God came. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. You see, beloved, I don't think as we go through this message that we should be concentrating so much on dying as we should be concentrating on living. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. And life more abundantly. We shouldn't be training missionaries to go out into the mission field saying, you may die if you go out there. Beloved, I don't think we should be saying that to them. Death is, like I mentioned to you, it's an appointment that we all have. I think we should be saying to people, do you want to serve God on the mission field? Do you want to serve God in life? You see, there's one thing that I know that there's a deep-seated faith in my heart on, and that is, it doesn't matter where God sends us, I know that He's going to keep me. So I don't mind if God sends us to China. I don't care where He sends us. We lived in Africa, so I don't mind going back to Africa. It's not such a scary place to go and live. And so we understand that there's so many people who are caught up. They would love to do something for God, but there is a fear that grips their soul, and they won't budge. What's going to happen? I was talking with my sister the other day, and she's lived in Africa all of her life, and I said, she's coming close to retirement because she's older than I am. And so I said to her, why don't you just come and spend, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months with us, retire, and don't worry about spending money. You come and live with us. We'll feed you, and you can worship with us at Times Square. And she said, I'd love to do that. I'd really love to do that. But who's going to look after my things? And so there's 1,000 thoughts that block her from just coming and spending several months with us. And I've thought to myself, how many people have the same blockages in living for God? They want to do things for God. There's a desire to go out for God, but they never do it because they are so captivated and held by some fear that holds them back. Well, this is what I believe that God has been putting in our hearts to speak to us as a congregation. We don't know what's going to happen in New York City in the days ahead. But one thing for sure, God is saying, when I give you life, I'm going to give it to you to the full. It doesn't matter what comes your way. There is a life that we can live in Jesus Christ, and He'll give it to us to the absolute fullest capacity. Now, when we think about the disciples, well, first of all, David, when we see David writing the Psalm 34, we all understand that David had an attack of fear before he writes this particular psalm. And in verse 4 it says, I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all of my fears. That's a plethora of fears. It's every kind of conceivable fear. David said, God is able to deliver you from every single thing that you have a fear of. Some people have an absolute phobia with spiders. It's an absolute phobia. They can't even go near a spider. And you are 1,000 times bigger than that little bug, but there's a fear that grips the heart. It's an amazing thing how God says, I will deliver you from every single thing, but yet such a small thing like a spider can hold somebody back from going and serving God. There's so many things that get a hold of our lives. Fear of cancer, fear of dying. It's been in my family all these generations. I'm afraid I'm going to get it. See, these are the kind of things that the devil wants to use in our hearts and lives to hold us back. David has a fit of fear before he writes this psalm, but he comes to the place where he says, what was that? What was that fear? Why did I think that this king could take my life when I'm in the hand of Almighty God? What made me fear that? You see, fear just comes upon you in a moment of time. There's nothing that can say, this is the reason why it comes. It just happens, beloved. I'm not going to stand here and just say we can be delivered from these fears, and I'm delivered from all my fears. But I know one thing. When a fear comes upon my heart and life, there is a God that I can call upon, and His name is Jesus. It happens in a twinkling of an eye. You can say, Jesus, just like that, and all fear and bondage is broken in a moment of time. See, that's where we want to go when we walk with Jesus Christ. Yes, there's fears. The devil capitalizes on fears. He uses fears in the hearts of people. People won't go into relationships. They won't go on the mission field. There's so many things that hold people back. And at the root of the problem, there is a fear. But David says in this psalm, he says that God wants to come and deliver us from all of our fears. Do we believe that this afternoon? Are we willing to trust Him? Fear of finances, lack of finances, fear that the relationship. How many of you are in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, and there's a deep-seated fear that something's going to happen, you're going to end up divorced? How many people struggle with these things? God says, I want to set you free from every single thing. He says, go into all the world. That means Muslim countries, Hindu countries, Shintoism, voodooism, witchcraft. None of these things can hold you back. These are all nations where the devil has raised up strongholds all over the world. Jesus says, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. God has given us a marvelous vehicle called Mount Zion School of Ministry. A marvelous school training up lives. Everybody should be sending somebody to the school because this is a place we can send kids to the nations. Jesus says, go into all the world. We understand that in some places there are such huge strongholds. Do you think God didn't understand that voodooism was a stronghold in Haiti or someplace? Do you think God is caught by surprise that there's a stronghold of witchcraft in Africa? Do you think God's caught by surprise that the Muslim faith would increase and grow in the world exponentially? Is he threatened by the Muslim faith? Of course he is not. He says, go in all the world. You go, I'm going with you. God wants the people to rise up and say, you go, I'm going with you. Beloved, I tell you in my heart, God is saying, if you go, I'm going to go. You're going to get God going with you wherever you go. He's going to go with you into the subways. He's going to go with you onto the job. He's going to go every single place. Almighty God is going to go with you. Why do we hold back? Well, my job, my home. My kids. Listen, I took 3 kids from country to country, place to place. Everybody said you're crazy. You're going to hurt their lives. They're all serving the Lord. They're all married to wonderful born-again Christians. I've got 8 grandkids coming out of these that were going to be damaged beyond repair because we moved them from place to place, country to country. But you've got to understand, God says, I'm going with you. Wherever you go, we've got 6 ladies going to South Africa. God says, I'm going with them. No harm can become them. They're going to go there and have a wonderful time because they're going in the power and the might of Almighty God. We all have thoughts about dying. Death may be simply defined as the termination of life. But as I mentioned on Friday, you see, so many people have a fear that they want to find out. There's so many ministries today about where did the fear come from? Did it come from my grandmother? Did it come from my grandfather? Where did all this stuff come from? There's so many people trying to find the origination of this thing. I said on Friday night, if you dig far enough, you're going to go all the way back to Adam anyway. That's where it all started, was in Adam. I was afraid when you called my name because I sinned. So if you want to know where the origination of fear came from, go all the way back to Adam. That's where it began. But as I said on Friday, God is not interested in the origination of where these things come from. God is interested in its termination in our lives. That's what God is interested in. I serve a God who is alive today. He's interested in bringing this thing to termination. I don't have to find out where it began. All I need to know is God wants to end it. Amen? And that's the strength and the power that we go in. As I mentioned, death is an appointment. Listen to the scriptures as the scriptures are so wide on the subject. Ecclesiastes says, the dust shall return to the earth. Psalm 104 says, thou takest away their breath and they die. In Corinthians it talks about the dissolution of this earthly house. It's the tabernacle. Job says, I won't return. It says, and make known my end. Philippians says it's to depart. Romans says it's a spiritual death. Revelation calls there is a second death. But Jesus says this, that by his own death he's taken away the sting for all of his followers. So the Bible talks about death. We're all going to face death, beloved. Every single one of us is going to face death at some point or another. We all want to be old and have a wonderful life and have marvelous memories. I got to be honest with you. Do you know how I want to go? There's 2 ways I want to go. First of all, if Jesus doesn't return in my lifetime, I want to be just a great, great, great grandfather. Lying in bed and just talking to all my grandkids and I close my eyes and I'm in the presence of Jesus. That's how I'd like to go in my flesh. My second aspect is like, I'd like Jesus to come right now, change me, and I'm gone. Do I want to go through? No, nobody thinks that we want to go through a horrible time through death. But I tell you, storms do come to our lives. The Apostle Paul said that he had the sentence of death within himself. In Corinthians, he writes and he says, it's an enemy. It's that last enemy that will be destroyed, which is death. And so we see that there is this thing called an enemy. It robs us. It robs us of faith. There's so many people who are so preoccupied about dying that they're not living. They're so caught up about what might happen that they're not saying, God, look what you are doing. And see, God wants to bring us to a place of faith, of living in Him. Beloved, I am so stirred in my spirit that we lay this fear down once and for all. I tell you, in my heart, God knows when I am going to depart. My days are absolutely numbered on His calendar. And because I have an assurance of when He knows I'm going to depart, therefore nobody can come and take my life from me. I'm going to live as long as God has me destined to live. That doesn't mean I can just live recklessly, but it does mean I can live faithfully. And that's what I want with all of my heart, to serve God with everything inside me. I got such a burning desire to communicate to you that the power of the living God wants to pick your life up, lay that fear down, and use you in such a powerful way in your lifetime. Beloved, don't stand before God one day and say, oh, I would have done that, but I was paralyzed. And he'll bring this message back to you and say, but I gave you the chance to lay it down. I want to take your life. I want to use you. There is a bondage through the fear of dying. Hebrews 2:15 says, through fear of death, men are subject to bondage. That word bondage is to be held in a prison without opportunity of release. Every time you think you're going to get out, the door slams shut again in your life. And you're held in a bondage. Because of this thing called the fear of dying. People are so afraid to get in cabs. So afraid to go on subways. So afraid to go to nations. God says, I'm going to go with you. All of these different nations, I'm so afraid. They're heathens. That's why God's sending you. That's why you're going. Because you're taking light to a people who need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So this is a message that God says, don't dwell so much on that, but look at what I'm going to give to you. We understand that fear has been from way back in Genesis, in the days of Genesis. Listen to Jacob when he writes. He says, Lord, he prays. He says, deliver me, I pray thee. He's coming back from his time with Uncle Laban, and he's on his way back to the land God spoke to him originally. And on his way back there, he knows that his brother Esau is coming. Listen to the fear that's in his heart. This is before God gets a hold of him. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and smite me and the mother of my children. Listen to what Job says. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It's fear. Nothing more than fear. These are the things that come, and everybody's been in a situation where your hair stood up on end. Fear is trying to get a hold of your heart. I mean, we've all had near-death experiences. I remember trying to start a motorcycle and tied this rope to my motorcycle and to the car. And I said to my wife, just go very slowly. I want to start the motorcycle. Until she puts her foot on the gas and the motorcycle goes flying and I nearly die. We all have near-death experiences. But it doesn't stop us from living. I've never done that again in my life. The Bible says don't live recklessly. But we all have opportunities to have an experience where we fear death. You know, right in the beginning of the life of the disciples, Jesus needs to arrest us. If these men and women are going to go into all the world, if God is going to use these men and women, He has to go after this thing that lies so deep at the root in the heart of men and women. He has to go after it. And so we see right in the very beginning of His ministry, and different times through His time of ministry, Jesus is always saying to the disciples, you'd think that after the first and second occasion, they'd start to catch on. Every time He says, get in the boat, there's a storm coming. You're kind of like, is there another storm? And they went so many times on that lake. But listen to Mark chapter 4, verse 38. It says this, and He was in the hinder part of the boat, asleep, on a pillow. So God knows. He's after something. So Jesus goes to the hinder part, the back of the boat. He gets a pillow. He says, guys, I'm just going to take a nap. And they awake him. And they say to him, Master, carest not that thou we perish. A storm rises up. These are people who are accustomed to being in a boat and storms. And yet at the very center of their being. See, Jesus understands that if these are the people that he's going to send to the four corners of the earth, then there is going to be something that I have to go after in their heart and life. You heard Pastor David so powerfully this morning that there are times that God allows storms to come into our life because there's certain things he's after. He can't get to it because we cover up these things so well. How are you doing? Fine. Praise the Lord. Would you like to go on missions? Sure, I'd like to go on a missions trip. Praise God. I just have never had the opportunity. You see, we cover these things by nice words, but until a storm comes and we begin to find out, why haven't we been on a trip? It's because deep down in our soul, there's a fear. And we see this with the disciples. Master, carest not that we perish. Why didn't they say, Master, don't you care that the boat is filling up with water? Don't you care that the sail is breaking? Don't you care that something else? But no, this is the very heart and the issue of their lives. The Bible says, if you find your life, you lose it. But if you lose your life for Jesus Christ's sake, you find life. And so Jesus is trying to get after this very root in the heart of men and women that they hold. They hold their own life so powerfully. If I go and do these things, my family's going to suffer. If I go out for God, who knows what's going to happen when I get back? All these plethora of fears that take a hold of the heart of men and women, and we continue to under message after message, and we don't do anything because God is trying to get a hold of us. Because the enemy's got us by fear. Beloved, there is such a passion in my heart to see every single one of you in this house today to respond to this altar call. We don't try to push altar calls, as you know, in this house. But I tell you, there is something about rising up and saying, God, once and for all, I'm going to give this to you. My prayer for you all week has been this. God, I pray that every single person in hearing my voice today will come to terms with this thing about this fear of death. Lord, don't you care that we perish? Don't you care that we are going to die? Perish means to die, to be killed, to lose life. Don't you care? Of course he cares. He knows full well. He's in the boat. The boat's not. This is God who's in the boat. God isn't going to die. God can't die. There's no revelation. There's no revelation who they've got in the boat with them. Beloved, I want to tell you, when you realize, when you've got the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, when you get a revelation that God is living in the boat of your life, you'll never fear death again. You will look fear in the death in the face, and you will never fear it again in your life, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And this is where he wants to raise every single one of you. I want you to bring your fears to the altar this afternoon. Lay them at this altar and move away from it in faith. I want you to rise up with a revelation in your heart that you've got God in your life. Nothing's going to happen to you at all in your life. Listen to some of the promises of God against fear. Psalm 27:3 says, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. How many can be a host? How much is a host? Though a host encamp against me. It doesn't matter how many, it doesn't matter what the odds are. If you are just one with God, you're a majority. God holds the nations as dust in a bucket. And if he's on your side, you're in the majority. That's why David says, my heart, I'm not going to fear. It doesn't matter if there's a host against me. There is no way that I'm going to fear. Psalm 118 verse 6, the Lord is on my side. God is on my side. I will not fear. There comes a decision that when fear comes knocking at your door and starts saying, you're going to die, you've got to take the decision at that point and say, no way, God is on my side. If you want to tell me I'm going to die, tell that to God. He hasn't told me yet, and therefore I'm not going. I ain't going. Folks, I'm not going with death anywhere until God tells me my time is up and I'm going with Him. And I believe with all of my heart, I'm going to show you today, He'll come and tell me. He'll tell me. He'll give you the witness. It's time. Until that, He told Peter when you're going. He says, Peter, listen, this is when you're going to go. You're going to go as an old man. He says, John, and what about him? Don't worry about him. What I have for him, don't you worry about. They stuck the Apostle John in boiling oil. They couldn't kill him. He couldn't die. Until he came to a good old age. And God says, come on home. Enoch walks with God. God says, I love your fellowship so much. Why don't you just come back with me now? He takes others up in chariots of fire. We're dealing with Almighty God. Lord Jesus, I pray the revelation smite our hearts this afternoon that we're not in this world dealing with man. We're in a world and we're living with God. Let that revelation come so powerfully into our hearts and into our lives. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Don't fear them which can kill the body. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Romans says, for whether we live unto the Lord. Or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. And there is so much scripture that God gives to us on these situations. But I want to give you three illustrations this afternoon. See, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 15:54 that death is swallowed up in victory. And in verse 55, he goes on to say, O death, where is thy sting? You see, most people fear the sting of what they interpret death to be if it's unnatural. There's a sting. There's a fear. Fear comes as a sting. It tries to lay hold of the heart. And the Bible tells us so clearly that death is swallowed up in victory. And there is no sting in death. And I want to share three simple, forgive me, but they're going to be very simple illustrations to show you how God has removed the sting of this thing called death. If there'd be anything that I'd want to leave with you this afternoon, and that is that God has removed the sting out of this. Listen to the scripture on this first simple illustration. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, it says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. What does the Bible say? All things have passed away. All things are gone. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I remember the day when I got saved. I remember so clearly, young people, I remember the day I got saved. I knelt at that altar. God took so convicted. I was coming. I was a trainee. I was a hippie in training. I wasn't a real one because I didn't know what a real hippie was, but I really wanted to try and be one. And I was acting out this lifestyle, but God got a hold of my life in the midst of that time and spoke to me. At 19 years of age, God spoke to my heart. And I remember kneeling at that altar. No one had to speak to me. It was something like I just knew what to do. This guy tried to pray for me. I said, I'm here to confess all my sins. I told God every single thing. And on that day when I received Jesus Christ in January 1972, when I was 19 years of age, I'm 51, I'm going to be 52 this year, so don't try and do the math. I'll calculate it for you and tell you exactly how old I am. That's how some of you think. Oh, 19, I'm done. Okay, 51, 52. Okay, I'm going to be 52 in November. But I remember that time so well. Was there a sting taking place? Did I feel the sting of death when I was handing over my old life and letting it die and coming into a new life? Was there a sting? See, when he talks about the sting of death being removed, what he's saying is there's no fear in this. Was there a fear when you gave your life to Jesus? Was there a sting in it? No. There was such a joy. It was a handing over of all of that baggage. It was just handing it over. There wasn't a sting. There wasn't a fear. There wasn't anything taking place. But there was a death that was occurring. You see, this is what he wants to try and get across. There's no sting in death. He says there's only victory. So even in a spiritual sense, when you come to Jesus, you're not fearing, oh, I'm going to be dying to my old life right now. Oh, the pain of this death. No, most of us were just unloading all the baggage in, and there was such a joy. I'm coming to Jesus today. See, coming to Christ, there's no sting in death. There's only life. There's a joy. I remember standing up after that day, handing all of that baggage over. There was no sting in dying to my old life and taking on the new life. It was automatic. It happened so supernaturally, instantaneously, just like that. The very second I said, God, take the baggage. Jesus, come in. Boom, I was saved. Old life was gone. New life had come. There was no sting. There was no pain. There was no anguish. It was instantaneous. It was that fast. Does that make sense? There's no sting in death. And that's what he's trying to say. We move from death to life in a split second of time. You don't even know it's taken place. How do I know Jesus came in? How do I understand how he came in? I don't understand it, but all I know that in January of 1972, I died and I took up a new life. Hallelujah. And there was no sting in it. Let me talk about another illustration. Listen to this simple one and I'll get to the main one. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 31 and 32, listen to what it says. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. So here's an illustration of where God says, I'm going to take two lives and I'm going to make them one. Well, to take two lives and make them one, there's got to be a death involved. Marriage is the death of singleness. So two people are saying, I'm dying to my single life. There's no sting in it. I've never been at a... I've presided over so many weddings. I have done so many weddings. I can do these things blindfolded. And I tie great big knots, knots that they'll never undo. I got fancy knots so strong that they cannot undo those knots. But I want to tell you, I've never been at a wedding yet in all the ones that I've done, and there the groom is sweating. The only sweat that he goes through is when she's late. But he is not sweating thinking, oh, I'm dying to my single life. Oh, the sting of this death that I'm going through. Oh, I'm dying. Oh, I can't stand the thought that my single life is going. I've never seen that in my life. The only time, what I see all the time is they're not worried about the sting of dying to their singleness. There is a joy of entering into oneness. They're thinking, hurry up, get on with the job. I want to go on beyond the ceremony. I want you to tie the knot. I want to go on my honeymoon. I want to be one with this gal. There's a joy. There's no sting in death. There's no sting in the death of singleness to marriage. There's no sting in that at all. There's such joy. We move from this into the other with such immense joy. So when we get saved, when you get married, there's no sting of death. And these are all illustrations. And death is the part that he uses. You can't have two becoming one unless there's first a death. Now, turn with me to John chapter 6. And I'm going to show you something here. This whole chapter in John chapter 6 is all one story, beloved. You read the whole chapter, it's one story. Although there's two major miracles in this portion of scripture, in this chapter. It's a long chapter. It's 71 verses. But in 71 verses, it's all one issue. And God is going after the heart of those that he loves. Now, Jesus breaks this bread and he's on the mountain and his disciples don't know what to do. He goes to Thomas and he says, or to Philip, when shall we buy bread? And so he's talking about this bread and he multiplies the bread and 5,000 plus people sit down. They eat the bread. They eat. They get filled. 12 baskets are full. And then Jesus constrains, one of the Gospels tell them that Jesus constrains them to get into the boat. And you've got to understand the very fact, this is another lesson that's coming. They want to make Jesus king. In verse 15, in verse chapter 6, verse 15, it says, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain by himself alone. And so they want to make him king. You see, Jesus knows that these people don't need a physical king. They need a king who's going to be over everything in life. He knows that they need a king of the storms. You don't need a king, a natural king. You don't need that. He's not going to let them make him king. Because he knows that what the real need is, that we need a king that's going to be king over the storms, king over life. And so then he constrains them to get in the boat. Now look at this in verse 16. John chapter 6, verse 16. And when even was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was come to them. Was not come to them. Verse 18. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind. When you read the other Gospels on this, some of the basic facts is that they early evening, they get in the boat. They're in this boat for something like 10 hours, and they cannot even travel 2 miles. So they haven't gone 2 miles in 10 hours. They've been working against this. In the book of Mark, it says when Jesus comes on the water, he would have gone by. In the book of Matthew, Peter says, "Bid me come to you." And he steps out on the water. But it's here in the book of John that we see that the most powerful message of all is given. And I read all the commentators, and I tell you, they just frustrate me because they miss some of the greatest things that Jesus is doing. In verse 20, and he says unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." Verse 21 says, "Then they willingly received him into the ship." Matthew says they worshipped him. And in Mark it says they were so amazed. Now what would, because Jesus walks on the water and he gets in, and as he's going by, Mark says he's going by, Peter says, "Hey, Jesus bid me come to you." He goes on the water, Jesus picks him up, and then when they come back to the boat, they welcome him into the boat. Now the Bible says in Mark that they were sore amazed. They were so awestruck by something. Was it because the wind just stopped? Was they awestruck because they'd been in a boat before and the wind calmed down? What was the incident that they were so amazed? Matthew says they began to worship him. What is God doing here? Well, John brings up the answer to us when he says, "And they willingly received," this is verse 21, "into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went." Immediately. Now, beloved, you've got to catch this by the Holy Ghost or you're going to miss it. Two things take place. God says, "I'm going to bring you through every single storm." We heard that this morning. There is not a storm that God isn't going to bring you through. Young person, you're going to face storm after storm after storm. We've got good news for you. In your lifetime, you're going to face a myriad of storms. We've got good news. Every one of those storms, Jesus is going to bring you through to the other side. There's not a storm that you're going to face that he's not going to bring you through the other side. That's the promise of Almighty God. Amen? Not a storm. He's going to take you through. He's going to bring you through the other side. We heard Brother Dave this morning say that he's got such a faith in his heart because he's gone through so many storms, and every last one of them, God brought him to the other side. So he's got a faith. He loves Jesus even more at 73 years of age because he's seen God do so many wonderful things in his life. But what is the worship? What is the amazement here? The amazement isn't just that the storm is gone. It's that they haven't even traveled 2 miles in 10 hours. But in a moment of time like this, when Jesus gets in the boat, the clouds go. They're at the other side. They're right on the other side. That's what causes the amazement. The commentators miss this. They miss the greatest miracle. In fact, one person wrote and said, "I don't even understand why this is even then there and where the miracle is in this at all." I couldn't understand. I shut that guy up and said, "Man, well, I don't even know why I read you." The miracle of all of this stuff, when you allow the Holy Ghost to speak to you, you're going to understand it. When you're in the storm of life, and this is the message I want. Jesus is after this fear of death. And he's telling us, if you let me walk on by, you're going to suffer in the storm. But if you invite me into the boat with you, I want to tell you that the day will come when the storm will take you, but I'm taking you to the other side. Beloved, they didn't even feel the sting of it. He's teaching them a lesson here about eternity. He's saying, death has got no sting in it. The other side here is heaven. It's the haven. He's giving them a revelation that when I'm in the boat with you in the midst of the storm of your life, you won't even know the difference. I get in the boat and we're on the other side. It's a miracle. God, you are never going to feel the sting of dying. Because when I get in the boat, you don't even know you've done. They didn't even know. The lesson that he's given them, he's after something in their heart. They always say when they get into the storm, don't you care we perish? Don't you care we're going to die? Don't you care we're going to lose life? Don't you care about these things? But Jesus brings them to the greatest lesson of all times, that there's no sting in death. And when I'm in your boat, it doesn't matter what storm. You don't even know you're gone. You're in a moment of time. You're on the other side. Boom, you're right there. That's why Matthew begins to say they began to worship. They began to worship him because they understood a message. These are the people who are going to go to the far ends of the earth. They're going to have to come to knowledge and understanding that God's got their life in their hand. It doesn't matter. Folks, I have got, have I conquered this thing about how I'm going to die? Maybe I haven't, but one thing I have understood so powerfully, it doesn't matter where I go, because I know when I just blink my eyes, I can be here one moment, but if it's God's time for my life to go in that blinking, I'm in His presence. Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. It happens in a twinkling of an eye. He says, I'm going to come and take you. Now throughout this book of John, this is the single message. And when you understand what he is saying, in further on, when you start reading, he starts saying to them, I'm the bread of life. If you partake of me, you will never die. As you take Jesus into the boat, you've got to welcome him into the boat. You will never get rid of your fears by somebody laying hands. Everybody wants to have some fear delivered out of their lives by you coming up here and laying on hands, and this devil goes and I'm never going to have fear again. No, we live in a real world where the devil constantly tries to smite us with fear. We're living in a real world, folks. We live here in this country. We've got people who want to do harm to us. We've got other nations that are rogue nations. We're living in a world where the devil tries to terrorize us. But the good news is this. It doesn't matter what the devil says to us. There is a God who's taking us to the other side. And he's in my boat. I'm with him and he's with me and he's promised me we're going to the other side. And if that means the other side of the storm and I come through a particular trial, then that's what it means. If it means the other side means I'm with him in eternity, then that's what it means. It doesn't matter. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he writes, whether I live or die, I'm the Lord's. It doesn't matter. He's taken the sting out of this. But he says it's all based down on this one thing. You've got to take me as the bread of life into your life. Now, I'm going to give you four scriptures in closing. John chapter 6, verse 39. I'll wait till you get there. Listen to this verse. And this is the Father's will. Most people, what is the will of God? Well, this is the will of God. I'm going to give you the will of God. And this is the Father's will, which He hath sent me. That all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. All. So this is God's will. That every single human being, male, female, across the face of this earth, all that the Father hath given me, nobody will get lost. Nobody's going to drown. Nobody is going to fall over the side of the boat and be gone. He says, this is the Father's will. And listen to what he says. But should raise it up again at the last day. So in other words, God says, there's only life. I'm not going to lose any. There's only life. You're going to be raised up. You're going to have a glorified body. Now look at verse 40. If you think that's good, listen to this. And this is the will of him that sent me. So he's again establishing the will and the purpose of God. That everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And what does Jesus say? I will raise him up at the last day. You want to tell me he's not talking about life here? You want to tell me he's not talking about eternity and that you don't have to fear death? Look at verse 44. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. So I understand one thing today. You are not here because you chose to be here. You are here because God drew you here. You are here specifically on purpose, on time, because God put it in your heart to be here. You can't come to Jesus on your own free will. It's God who draws you. Something, there's a work that goes on the inside, and you come to Him, and Jesus says, and I will raise Him up at the last day. So we got the promise three times. This is the will of God. This is the will of God. You're here because God drew you here. And each time He says that is that you are going to have life. There is no death for you. I'm going to raise you up. Look at this in verse 54. And whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Four times in this chapter, God, you want to tell me that God is not establishing a truth for us to understand that with Him is eternal life. This is the will of God, beloved, that you come and you put every fear. If I were in your shoes, because I've done this myself, if I were in your shoes this afternoon and the Holy Ghost speak, I would come down to this altar. I would take that baggage load of fears. I would just put this at the altar and say, God, this day, fear of man, fear of failure, fear of death. I'm putting all of this baggage down here this day. Jesus, you're not walking by this day without me saying, come into my boat. Because I want to go to the other side. I'm on the way to the other side, beloved. Amen? This afternoon. What about you? What is the fear? Do you have a fear of death? Do you have a fear of dying? All the news. Let me give you some advice in closing. Quit listening to all the news stories. They always, always about murder, death. So-and-so died, so-and-so got cut up, so-and-so got killed. We feast our mind on all these things, and all the time a subtle message of the devil is coming in. Death, fear, dying. I can't. The Bible is all the opposite. You can. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm in your boat. We're going to the other side. It doesn't matter what storm. I'm going with you. You're going to be with me in eternity. I'm going to raise you up. This is the good news. That's the bad news. For goodness sake, turn that thing off. Take time and get into the Word and say, God, I'm going to let you just deal with these fears once and for all. Amen? Let's stand together. I'm reminded of Stephen on the eve of his homecoming. And what does he say? I see Jesus standing at the right hand of God. See, I don't believe that Jesus just stood there. I think that Jesus came to get him. It's awesome. It's so awesome. My invitation this afternoon, beloved, to you in the annex and right here in the main sanctuary is for once and for all, come to this altar and say, God, I give it to you. I'm just going to give you these fears. I'm going to give them to you. And by faith, I'm going to say, Jesus, you're in my boat, and I'm going to walk with you, and I'm going to allow you to take me to the other side. Amen? Now, Father, I thank you for your word this afternoon. Lord, whether it's been the kind of word we wanted to hear or not, it doesn't matter. You're after a root in our heart. And that root, Lord, is by simple faith. You're going to say to that sycamore tree that's got deep roots, you're going to say to that sycamore tree, be thou removed and cast into the sea. Lord, that's how fast deliverance is from fear. It's not a long process. But you say to the mountain, go, and it goes. You say to the deep roots that go so far down into the far corners of our life and produce those fears, and all you do is you come and say, go, and every root is tore up out of the life and cast into the sea. Now, Holy Spirit, I know I'm speaking by your voice this afternoon. That's what you want to do today in so many lives that are gripped by the fear of dying. And you're going to take that root and cast it out and put within them of faith that we're in your hand all the way to eternity in the hand of Jesus. Amen. Let me read a psalm to you, one verse. Listen to this verse in Psalm 107:28. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then they are glad because they be quiet. Listen to this. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. The wonderful works of God to the children of men. The wonderful works is he's going to bring you through to the other side. I pray you catch the revelation. In a moment of time, you're going to be to the other side. Just that fast. No fear. Now today, you're at this altar because God has spoken in your heart to lay it down. It doesn't mean to say that you're not going to have frightful opportunities to be afraid. It's not going to say that there's not going to be situations in life that are going to come. We're not saying that. There's plenty of opportunity. There's going to be, we're living in a real world. Evil people live in a world. There's a devil, there's demons, there's ugly things out there. But they are the minority. Because God is the majority. You walk with God, and we're always safe. We walk with God, he's always keeping you. You walk with God, they can't do anything. They have to get, the devil had to get permission before he could even go and try anything with a job. And God knew, it doesn't matter what you try, because the end result is he's going to be blessed. So the devil can't even come against you, because God is going to be keeping your life from this day on and evermore. I love it. I love it. Oh, I love it. I love to kick the devil in the teeth. I love people to rise up and say, no more fear, no more phobias. They might be there, but my God is delivering me this day. Pray this with me this afternoon. Lord Jesus, all of my fears, that's what you said. It's not my confession, it's your confession. That's what you said in Psalm 34. You said you would deliver me from all my fears, every last one of them. And I hold you to your word. By faith, I receive your word as greater than my fears. Fear. This day, God speaks to you as a sycamore tree and commands you, go in Jesus' name. You fear of death, you go right now in Jesus' name. You fear of failure, you go right now in Jesus' name. You fear of man, you go. Right now, in Jesus' name, I declare my life to be free from the fear the devil would afflict me with in Jesus' name. I am free. Hallelujah. Give him thanks. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, now I pray for each one of us. We live in a real world. We're not psycho-babbling people, Lord, who try to pretend there's not going to be difficulties. There are enough difficulties in this world to consume our thinking day in and day out. But you've given us a promise. We're going to the other side. Now, Lord Jesus, we lay hold of that. And we believe it. We leave the house tonight or this afternoon with a firm assurance. I go with God. And I will not fear on anything that may come my way. I will call on the name of my God in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Give Him thanks, beloved, one more time. Hallelujah.
This is the conclusion of the message.